Today, we're going to do something different. So, what I want to do is, you guys know about this. This is nothing that's been under a rock, but there are things going on in the world that we need to be praying about. There are people in the world who love Jesus, and they're catching stuff because of that. And some of those events have been big. Some of them are sort of out of our focus. But I want to put that before us today, and I want to pray about each one of those situations, what's going on in those places in the world with those people, because they need us to be interceding for them. Because whether we accept it or not, whether we internalize it or not, they are coming to know Jesus in a way that we have not yet had to come to know Jesus. And that is through suffering, His suffering. Suffering for His namesake and no other reason. So I want to put some of those before you today, one at a time, and then pray about what's going on there in those places one at a time. So John, if you would pull up that first video or the first one. So Iran is not a place where we think of there being many believers. Most of the time we hear the name Iran, we think of Ayatollahs and we think of tight-fisted Islamic rule. But God is doing remarkable things. Some of the videos that I saw as I was looking for what I wanted to show you, a couple of young ladies back in the early 2000s, one of them actually says, "I saw Jesus. And the only reason that I have faith in Jesus is because I saw Jesus." Now, why does that not happen in the United States? I can't give you an answer for that. But what I can give you an answer for is that God strategically does things for a reason. And that woman was placed in jail because she professed faith in Jesus. After having seen Jesus. And she and another woman were placed in jail, and they, I guess early, and I guess 15 or 16, I think, were released after several years of being in prison, 3 or 4 years. And, now she's telling her story about how she came to faith and how she was treated and what happened. Do you have any thoughts on what you were seeing? I'm gonna give you a very strange testimony here. Whenever I first saw this video, I didn't hear it in Farsi. I really thought that I was hearing English. I can't explain this. It may be weird. It may be just be some cuckoo thing in me, but I really don't remember it being in Farsi. The language that they were speaking in Iran. Turkey. Which may be a little more, which at this point is a little more cosmopolitan, but is not moving in the direction that's much better than another one of the testimonies that I saw was of a gentleman who was a imam. He was a Muslim cleric. And he said that the way he not just heard about Jesus, who they call Isa, is that he saw the passages in the Quran about Jesus. And there's more about Jesus in the Quran than there is Muhammad, quite frankly. And that for him, that was what God used to direct him to the fact that Jesus was the one that he needed to be pursuing. Now, how come that doesn't happen in more cases? I can't give you an answer, but I know that God worked in his life in that way, and you and I would never think that that would be a possibility. These are people who understand and share in the sufferings of Jesus and understand what faith is and trusting God is in a way that we generally do not, we just don't perceive it. We don't get it. We don't understand it. I mean, y'all feel that way? I just feel like there's this huge gap. It's not that I don't have faith. It's just that I don't have to do that. I don't understand that because I haven't walked in that path. But I believe that for us, the calling is because we don't, that instead of ignoring it, or not one of those people would care if we put them on a pedestal. Because that's not what the stories are about. The stories are about the power of God to reach into a place that's very dark and bring light. And then for them to show that following Jesus is not about convenience or life being simple. It's so much more and ought to be. We can learn that lesson from them, but I don't believe any of those folks are sharing their stories to be in any way idolized, lionized. So why don't we pray for a minute or two? Pray for believers in Iran. Not just pray for their protection, but pray for their depth and understanding of their calling, praying that their witness and their testimony would ring clear and true among their people, that we would take encouragement, that places where believers are free, that we would take encouragement and challenge from their example, praying that their influence might go far beyond their network of relationships, and that God would bless their faithfulness, that He would allow them to see fruit in their obedience, in their love for Him, and that the church would grow exponentially, and that love and grace and mercy would overcome hatred and fear and anger. Artie, would you pray?
Bible is forcing Christians to renounce their faith. This persecution is just the latest attempt by Beijing to crack down on all religion. In August, the United Nations said China could be holding more than 1 million Uyghurs and other Muslims in internment camps for, quote, political education. Beijing says the camps are vocational training centers, bolstering economic growth, and, of course, they say it's for social mobility. Here now to discuss, Olivia Enos, the Asian Studies Policy Analyst for the Heritage Foundation, Jillian Melcher, Wall Street Journal editorial page writer. Jillian, you know, every time we have a meeting and something like this comes up, everyone says, Jillian Melcher, you've spent time there, you've studied it, you understand this as well as anyone else. What the heck is going on? And by the way, in the whole world, knows what's going on too.
Yes, I think what we're seeing right now is a reversion to Maoist policies on religion. So in theory, Article 36 of the Chinese Constitution guarantees against religious discrimination. In the 1980s, we saw under Xinjiang an opening up and more of an ability for people to practice their religion. But right now under Xi Jinping, what we're seeing is a crackdown. We're seeing a reversion. Yes.
So why? Mm-hmm. Why now? Why is this because power corrupts absolutely? Is this, you know, he's sort of emperor for life right now? Does this get back to his basic instincts?
Well, I think, you know, the Chinese communist regime has always viewed religion as a threat. Its assumption was that it could manage it out of existence, but it was, instead we've just seen religion explode in China. It's something that's basically appealing to people in a way that the Cultural Revolution destroyed civil society. This is something that's rebuilding it and restoring it. But I think the government sees it as a threat. It's really unfortunate, though, because many Chinese Christians I know don't see any contrast between being a good, patriotic Chinese citizen and being a strong Christian. But I think if they're forced to choose, history has shown that Jesus wins every time.
Olivia, your thoughts?
This is a really hard time for people of faith in China. She is clearly taking steps to consolidate power, and as a part of this broader effort to consolidate power, he's targeting religion. We see this in February 2018, he instituted additional regulations on religious affairs, and as you mentioned, we're seeing unbelievable persecution of Christians, crosses being torn down, Bibles being burned. These are, as Jillian said, Mao-like era policies. In fact, Human Rights Watch just came out with a report today talking about persecution of Uyghurs in Xinjiang, and they said that these types of policies that we are seeing with over a million people in these political, you know, prison camps or re-education camps, this is really reminiscent of human rights abuses we were seeing during the Cultural Revolution.
You know, Jillian, I'm really surprised in the midst of this trade battle that this part of the story isn't articulated more. You know, some people talked more recently about the labor laws over there, and you know, the history of abuse and I just wonder what it would take to magnify this more in the West, particularly at a time when maybe, since we're already going through friction anyway with them, maybe we could do something to help those people.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the rare opportunities, I'd say, a great opportunity for a Trump tweet. I think knowing that the U.S. has the support of Christians and that the U.S. cares about human rights, that emboldens people and it lets them be more courageous. With the Uyghur situation, I think what's really telling is when persecution has happened in the past, we haven't heard about it because people are afraid of what's going to happen to their families. Here, their entire families are being shipped off to these camps. So the fact that they're speaking out is pretty telling. They don't have anything to lose.
Olivia, on that note then, can we expect it to get worse unless the world steps up and says something?
I think that now is the time for action. Earlier this year, the administration hosted the International Religious Freedom Ministerial, the first of its kind, that brought together leaders from all over the world. As part of that ministerial, there was a condemnation of the serious rights violations occurring against people of faith in China. And one of the suggestions that was a follow-on to that was the potential for individuals to be sanctioned under global Magnitsky on human rights and corruption grounds. We may be at the point where we need to be identifying individual members of the Chinese Communist Party who are undermining the freedom of all peoples of faith to freely practice what they believe to be true.
Well, I hope this message gets to President Trump and he takes action because it's unfortunate. Ladies, thank you both very much. Very knowledgeable.
We all know that the church has been growing in China for years, for decades, but mostly underground. Although there is the thing called the Three Self Church. You guys familiar with that? Okay. Essentially, the Chinese government said, okay, well, we'll let the church exist, but it has to exist under our watch. So there's a state church that's sanctioned, and then there is an underground church that is not. So people can go to the state church and the state can watch them, has spies inside those churches, literally can keep an eye on what goes on. But the house churches, the churches that are not practicing in public, those have never been legal. Sometimes they've been more tolerated, but now right now they're not tolerated at all. And churches that are not sanctioned, who have been meeting in places, are being run out of those places. Pastors are being arrested. Bibles burned and the like. So I think part of this is, yes, the fact of the matter is we are in trade talks as a nation with China. And we do need to pray not just for those believers in China, but we could be praying for our leaders as well, that whatever voice we can have, and whatever pressure we can bear upon this, that God would use that and advise our leadership to use it wisely. Any thoughts you have? And appreciates. Yeah, appreciates. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in China, praying the same things that we pray for the Iranian believers. Perhaps that, you know, they will stay strong, that they'll trust God, that they'll allow God to use their suffering to in some way not only expand His kingdom, but to strengthen other believers, and that obviously God would bring conviction and change through their faithfulness and their example. I want to show you one more. We'll pray for these two. I want to show you one more video, and then we'll close in a prayer.
Good evening from Sri Lanka, where the authorities are blaming a local Islamist group for the Easter Sunday attacks, which have left 290 people dead and 500 others injured. Many of those killed include foreigners and Britons, at least 8 of them. The Sri Lankan government says this local group must have had international support to have launched these coordinated attacks. The first reports came in yesterday morning at about 8:45 local time of explosions at churches in Negombo, Batikolo, and Colombo, along with 3 hotels in the city. 2 more explosions followed on the outskirts of the capital. Later in the evening, a pipe packed with explosives was defused near the airport. And this morning, detonators were found at a bus station in the city. And in the afternoon, another blast at a shrine as police were attempting to defuse explosives in a van. Well, police have arrested 24 people in connection with the bomb attacks, and a state of emergency has now been declared. Let's get the very latest now from our correspondent, Yogi Filimon.
Another explosion near one of the bombed churches, in a country that's already on the edge. A van blew up when the police tried to defuse explosives inside it. No one was hurt. But on Easter Sunday, hundreds died. Many of them here at St. Sebastian's Church. It's believed to be the site of the deadliest bombing. The hall was packed with families who'd come here to pray.
A priest who was at the altar has told me that just before the service ended, a person entered through one of the side doors and detonated a bomb. Such was the impact, it destroyed everything inside, but even here outside, shattered glass everywhere, roof tiles that are broken. And all around, a strong smell of blood and death.
People have begun to say goodbye to loved ones. The Allen family is from Thailand. They were on holiday in Sri Lanka. These boys lost their mother Monique when she was at breakfast in a five-star hotel.
You know, my wife loves Sri Lanka, and this is her favorite country, and she was so happy, and I think maybe it was her destiny to go back home, you know, in Sri Lanka.
Among the eight British nationals who've been killed are Anita Nicholson, her son Alex, and her daughter Annabelle. In a statement, Ben Nicholson said his wife and children had the priceless ability to light up any room they entered and bring joy to the lives of all they came into contact with. Also among the dead are retired firefighter Bill Harrop and his partner Sally Bradley from Manchester. The vast majority of those dead are Sri Lankan. Hundreds of families in this country in grief. Popular chef Shanta Mayabune, seen here on the left, and her daughter Nisanga to the right, posted this photo just before they were killed at the Shangri-La. Some, like Rameshwari, are still searching. Today, a Sri Lankan minister apologized to his people.
We are very, very sorry. As a government, we have to say, and we have to apologize to the families and the other institutions about this incident.
Several people have been arrested, and the government has blamed a local hardline Islamist group for the attacks. There are questions about whether warnings about the bombings were not passed on.
The intelligence never indicated that it's going to be an attack of this magnitude. They were talking about isolated one or two incidents, not like this. And also, besides, there is no emergency in this country. We can't request the armed forces to come and assist us. We can only depend on the police, so we have informed the police.
For a people that have endured war, these attacks are a sudden reminder of more violent times.
Well, meanwhile, the relatives and friends of some of those who...
So, let's pray. Father, the evil one seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, we see that at work very, very clearly. Lord, we lift up our brothers and our sisters. Lord, I pray that when we say that, that we will begin to see ourselves more connected. Lord, they need to know that we do know what's going on with them, that we do care. Lord, I pray that you would help us through our elected officials, Lord, to communicate that in one way. And Lord, I'm praying that you would show us if there are other ways that we can communicate that, that we would. Because Lord, we want them to know that they are in our hearts and that they are in our prayers. And Lord, whenever we pray, we don't pray a defeatist prayer. Lord, we're not praying for victims who are helpless. We are praying for people who have chosen to follow you, no turning back. Lord, I pray that you would continually strengthen them and encourage them. And Lord, I pray that they would not sway to the left or the right, but that, Lord, they might follow you wherever you lead them. Lord, I pray, as I prayed earlier, great fruit for their faithfulness in their labor, whether they are in China or Sri Lanka or Africa or somewhere in Europe. Lord, that you would bring glory to your name, and that, Lord, the experience that these believers have, that, Lord, they would accept what you have for them, and that, Lord, they would know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, I pray that we would learn this too. Help us not to be deaf and unseeing, but help us to be on our knees for them and praying continually. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.